Today's reading is Philippians, continuing on from last week. So chapter 1, starting at verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live in Christ is to die again. But if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Jesus Christ will overflow on account of me.
Good morning. Paul is writing this letter, this whole letter, the letter that is known as the letter of joy. He is writing it from prison and in chains. And so what I thought might be helpful to remind us and to remind myself while I'm preaching is to attach some chains around my ankle. When I was actually sharing this and getting this kind of set up on Friday night with some teenagers, I was saying, oh, you know, I'm wondering about whether we do it for the whole series and whether that would be helpful. And one of them said, wow, like, I imagine your ankle would get a bit sore. Yeah, I won't say who it is, but let's just say her name was Hayes Godson. And she said, wouldn't your ankle get a bit sore? I said, yeah, but like, that's the reality of it. And then I found out later that actually what she was thinking was that I was planning on wearing the chains for the entire 8 weeks of the series. And I thought, I'm committed to the prop, but maybe not that committed. And that would be that would cause a lot of problems, I think, in my marriage and in my driving. So someone told me what the combination to this padlock was. Let's see whether they are having me on or not. Let's pray as we remember God and seek to come before his word. Our God and King, we pray that you might remind us once more of who you are and who you have called us to be. Speak to us and work in us, that we might be shaped more and more into the likeness of your Son, we pray. Amen. Like I said, Paul is writing from chains. The Romans and the Jewish leaders at the time are seeking to put a stop. They're seeking to stamp out the Christian movement that is taking over the Roman Empire. And so in an attempt to do so, what they've done is they throw the greatest church planter and evangelist that the Christian church has into prison, into chains. And what Paul says is that actually it has had the complete opposite effect. Verse 12, if you've got the passage with you. If you want to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to what? To advance the gospel. Not just has this not had a negative effect, not just has it had a neutral effect, that these chains have served to advance the gospel. You see, there are two reasons for this. Paul says, the first reason is that I've been chained to the palace guard. So the Roman Empire thought, here's what would be a good idea. Let's take the most influential, powerful guards we have, the Praetorian Palace Guard, and we will chain them for 6-hour windows to the most persuasive evangelist the Christian church has ever known. And so Paul is chained not just to the ground, but he is chained to palace guards. And every 6 hours, these men are changing shifts. And for 6 hours, Paul is thinking, are you chained to me? Or am I chained to you? And all he sees is a captive audience. Literally. But more than that, verse 14, because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously, more fearlessly. That because others in the church have seen what I am willing to go through, because they have seen the cost, it has actually, rather than making them shy away, it has emboldened them. That the chains that bound Paul actually liberated others to speak all the more fearlessly. As they see what Paul is willing to lose because of the gospel. As they see what he is willing to go through. As they hear about what he is willing to sacrifice so that others might hear about Jesus. They are emboldened to make sacrifices. They are emboldened to risk relationships. They are emboldened to put it all out there for Christ. You see, perhaps what is going to encourage others is actually stories not of evangelism success. And sometimes I fall into that trap. But perhaps actually what is going to encourage Jack all the more. Perhaps what is going to spur Gordon on in thinking more intentionally about those around him. Perhaps what is going to make Rosemary more prayerful for her sons and for her neighbours is actually stories that you share with one another about times when Neville this week decided to take a risk and invite a friend to church. Or share in a difficult moment his testimony with someone. Perhaps what is going to embolden Lizzie more is as she hears about how Avis invited a friend or is planning on taking a risk, inviting a friend to the women's event later in the year. That even stories of failure, perhaps will embolden one another. Why? Because courage is contagious. Courage is contagious, and it always has been all throughout history. In the 16th century, as the fires were lit at Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley's feet, English reformers, Latimer turned to Ridley, shouted to Ridley and said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley." The pyres are lit. "Play the man," he said. "We shall this day light a candle by God's grace in England, as I trust shall never be put out." That though Paul is chained, the gospel is not. And that's all he cares about. That's all Paul cares about. He doesn't care about his freedom. He doesn't care about the skin on his back. He doesn't care about the fact that he doesn't experience the luxuries or the privacy of being able to go to the bathroom by himself. If it means the gospel goes out, if it means that others are more emboldened to preach the gospel, to make much of Jesus, to make Jesus known, to love people, to see people's lives changed, then he'll pay it all. Why? Because he's not thinking about himself. All he cares about is the gospel, is Christ proclaimed, him being known. Verses 15, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up more trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, that Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice." As long as Christ is being preached, that's it. I'm okay with whatever comes my way. Paul is like an Olympian, or he's like an Olympian who knows this is the goal that I'm going for, and I will sacrifice everything else for that, in order to accomplish this task. If you speak to an Olympian ever, you will know that I have a friend that wasn't an Olympian but went very high up in swimming, and he said from about 10 years old till he was 24, almost every morning, he was up at 4 a.m. and in the pools. Sacrificing everything. He said, forget about parties late at night. Forget about going out with friends. He's like, my parents, they made sacrifices. He said, I remember we sold one of the cars and we just had one car as a family because that's the price that it would cost for me to keep going with swimming. Paul is so focused that everything else falls away. All that matters is that Christ is preached. Because, verse 21, for to me, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. To live, to breathe, to have blood pumping around my chest is for Christ. That there is no part of my week, Paul is saying, that does not have Christ's stamped on it. And can I say, this is so countercultural. One of my friends, he is a Christian, a believer, but his parents, aunt, and his parents have said to him, we are okay with you doing your church thing, but we just don't want it to affect your life. It's okay to follow Jesus, just don't let it shape the decisions that you make. Don't let it shape whether or not you're able to purchase a house at a certain stage in life. Don't let it shape the fact whether you're going to travel to certain places. Don't let it shape your perspective on morality. Don't let it shape the way that you spend your money. As if you could take Jesus and have him as a side, as an accessory, as a cherry on top. Take Jesus, the world is okay with. Take Jesus to the extent which it serves you. To the degree that it makes you happy, serves your comforts. We would never phrase it like this, but for how many of us, to live is Christ. On Sunday mornings, and on Tuesday nights, as long as we're not too tired. And yet Paul says, every part of my week, everything I do, whether it is, not that Paul was a parent, whether it is parenting, whether it is career, whether it is being with God's people, whether it is being by himself, wherever. And whatever part of his week is not his week, it is Christ's. To have and to take hold of Christ, to serve him, is everything for him. I've shared before about my friend who's a very, very good lawyer in the city. And every Wednesday morning, he teaches Year 3 Scripture. And he is never going to make partner at his law firm. Because every Wednesday, he gets into work at 12 o'clock. Because he's teaching Year 3 about Jesus. And let me ask you this question. Do you think on the day when Christ returns, he will regret it for a second. Not at all. To live is Christ. Francis Chan once said, "Do not fear failure. Rather fear succeeding at things in life that don't really matter." To live is Christ. To die is gain. And for some of us, that will cost us relationships. It will mean putting ourselves out there, being vulnerable. For others, it will mean foregoing a promotion so that you can do scripture. For others, it might be you give up a car, not to support swimming, but to support youth ministry. For others, it might even mean working with glitter in kids ministry. Paul knows what his life is all about. To live is Christ, and to die would be gain. In fact, Paul is so aware of it that when you look at verses 22 to 27, he understands that actually this is the only reason why, and I would argue, he is saying any of us, when you become a Christian, don't just go straight up to heaven. Verse 22, "If I am to go on living in the body, this shall mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two, that is, living or dying. I desire to be with Christ, which is better by far. No suffering, no sin, no frailty of body. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for the progress and the joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me." That the reason why we don't just go straight up to heaven when you become a Christian, why? Is so that you might serve others, that you might reach out to others, that you might make Christ known. That you might love people and see people's lives changed. That is why we're here. And that will take mums and mechanics. It will take doctors and dentists. It will take brickies and builders. And we each have a role to play. We each have a role to play, and the way that you do that is going to be different from the way that I do that. But the mission and the goal is the same. To make Christ known, to love people, to see people's lives change, for the gospel to go forth. And you are going to reach some people better than I can. Better than I can. You're going to be rubbing shoulders with people tomorrow that I will never rub shoulders with. You're going to have rapport and relationship and trust with people that I will never know. The way that we do it, the roles that we play may be different, but the mission is the same. The goal is the same. That the gospel is proclaimed. And we don't want to be, we want to be sensitive and we want to be quick to listen and we want to be kind and compassionate and quick to understand and slow to speak. But we want to be intentional. And you want to understand, here is a moment where they don't need Jamie McKenzie, they don't need Kat Roldan, they don't need Bernie Paws. Here is a moment where they need Jesus. And you pray and you pray, make me more like Jesus, because that's who they need in this moment. And you listen, and you speak, and you speak, and you listen, and you speak, and you listen, and you pray your heart out. You see, Paul is willing to be condemned as guilty. He's willing to be shackled and chained, because he knows that this is what his Saviour went through for him. Though innocent, that Christ was willing to be shackled and condemned as guilty, so that Paul might be freed and declared innocent, that Christ would face death and loss, so that Paul, when he would face death, he would be able to say, it is gain. That Paul knows John 17, this life I live, I set aside for them, I give for them. And so what, in Paul's mind, he's going, if Christ is able and willing to say, my life for your good, my life for you, to live is for you, Paul is willing to say, well, for me to live then is Christ. Let's pray. Our God and King, we ask that you might be working in our hearts and minds. We pray you might be spurring us on. We pray that you might be reminding us of Christ this week. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you might be working in us, moving our hearts and our minds for the glory of your Son. And the majesty of your name, we pray. Amen.